You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Caudet. There are now cases of coronavirus in all 50 states. And with no definitive federal orders, but rather recommendations, states and localities have been left to their own to decide how to handle the pandemic in their own area. Idaho has made no statewide restrictions. Rather, it has announced guidelines for people. Shelter-in-place mandates, though, seem to be helping China flatten the curve, as no new cases in that country were announced today. But what about the other problems this epidemic is exposing? Things like homelessness, lacking healthcare infrastructure, and the food and housing insecurity, which come with layoffs and a turbulent economy. Boise State University is now home to the new Hazard and Climate Resilience Institute, which is facing these issues head on. And Director Brittany Brand is joining us live on Skype to talk more about this. Brittany, welcome to the program.
Hi, glad to be here.
So, Brittany, I'm not sure everyone has a solid understanding of what community resilience is. So can we just start there and maybe give us an explanation or a definition of what that is?
Absolutely. So when we think about resilience, we're really thinking about our community's ability to prepare for, to respond and adapt to a negative event, and to recover from an event. And really, resilience is dynamic. I mean, our community's resilience changes daily as our environmental and social conditions change and evolve. And really, the best way to promote resilience is through a strong foundation of communities with a strong, well-established network that understands the region's strengths and works to improve weaknesses before a disaster strikes. And this type of network also aids in effective coordination when we're in a period of crisis.
So can you talk a little bit about your background and when it was that you first really understood the need for really considering community resilience, especially when it comes to disaster preparedness?
Absolutely. So I'm a volcanologist by training, and I've experienced some volcanic crises. I was, for example, in Chile in 2015 in a town called Pucón when the volcano Villarrica erupted. And in the town where we were safe. I knew we couldn't leave the town because of the risk of mud flows from the drainages surrounding the town, but we were okay. Despite that, and despite the fact that this community lived on the flank of an active volcano, there was absolute panic and chaos in the community. And it kind of made me start thinking about, well, if building community resilience, a big part of that is just having people and their households prepared for a hazardous event like a volcanic eruption. And we all live at risk to some form of hazard. So here in Boise, for example, we've got wildfire, flooding, we've got severe weather, and of course now we've got COVID-19, right? So how do we communicate in a way that helps motivate households to prepare before a disaster strikes? And I initially thought this would perhaps just be education, but I quickly started realizing that we also have to consider aspects of people's cultural backgrounds, their experiences, their perceptions, and their behaviors. And to do that, I had to start collaborating with psychologists and cultural anthropologists. And I started to realize that this idea of community resilience is fundamentally multidisciplinary. We have to start breaking down our disciplinary silos and working together. So out of curiosity, I started looking around Boise State to see who else was doing something, research, or had projects under this umbrella of resilience. And there were a ton of us across practically every department on campus, but none of us were interacting or talking. So that's really what motivated us to start the Boise State Hazard and Climate Resilience Institute as a platform for us to connect with each other, to start breaking down our disciplinary silos and working better together to address what is fundamentally a multidisciplinary societal problem.
And, you know, you've said that, you know, resilient communities rely on resilient people. And, you know, we know that some people have the ability to be more resilient, you know, than others. But this is a muscle you can build, right? I mean, just like if you worked out to get a bigger bicep, I mean, you can build your resiliency.
Yeah, that's correct. And I mean, if we're thinking about resilience, it's, and from a geologist perspective, I think about environmental resilience, our ability to respond after an earthquake or to mitigate flooding. But if we truly want to consider community resilience, we have to consider all aspects of that. And that includes health and wellness and meeting basic needs of our population. And so building resilience, it really, the community itself has to reach out and make sure that we're meeting the needs of all people. And so as an individual, sure, we can flex our muscles, we can train, we can learn how to become more resilient as individuals within our families. But in some cases, some of our population may need a little additional help with that. And that's where community networks like the United Way and the Idaho Food Bank can help out to raise resilience to some of these folks that might need a little bit more help.
Okay, so talk a little bit more about that, because that's really interesting about this community aspect of it, right? So in your opinion, where is the United States lacking when it comes to resiliency, and specifically that community resiliency where we need to come together more?
Yeah, I think that when we think about risk, for example, we look at vulnerable systems. So a vulnerable system could be a population living at risk, or it could be infrastructure or critical facilities. And then we look at the overlap between those vulnerable systems and the potential for a hazard. And when I say hazard, I could be a natural hazard, it could be a man-made hazard, it could even be a health hazard, like a pandemic that we're experiencing now. And so looking at that in terms of risk, we can then rank risk. And when we're thinking about that, like perhaps our communities with higher incomes, with more job stability, they're able to respond and recover more quickly. But some of our communities that might be living paycheck to paycheck, that kind of disruption, any kind of disruption to their daily lives can be really,
really, really devastating.
Challenging. Right. Yeah. It can be devastating. Exactly. And I think that's, you know, that's my biggest concern right now with COVID-19 is that the people who have the least are going to suffer the most. And so as a community, you know, if we want to be resilient, it's our responsibility as community members, as an institute, but also just as individuals, to do what we can to help out those that need the help the most. And I think that, you know, that's really the idea of community in a way.
You know, this is so interesting. You've also said that coronavirus is testing our resiliency and showing us where we need to improve. And it makes me think about how I think the majority of us talk about doing good, wanting to do good, you know, being there for the less fortunate. But this kind of puts a glaring light on the fact that there might be more talk rather than action. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, yes, I think so. And that's, you know, that's another place where I'm hoping that our institute can help out. There are already so many incredible efforts happening across the Treasure Valley to assess these populations. And in times of crisis, there's incredible coordination across practically every sector, from cities and counties and emergency management, the public health sector. You know, people are really working effectively together. And so I think that we are taking action now. And as individuals, if we feel like we want to do something, what can we do? Well, you know, we could look for ways to contribute funds if we have them. For example, the United Way has a COVID-19 response fund. We could even just check on some of our elderly friends or neighbors and say, hey, you know, I'm making a grocery store run. Do you want me to drop anything off for you? So there are things that we can do, you know, not just in now in this crisis, but just in general to help out these populations, even from the individual level.
We're talking with Brittany Brand. She's the director of the new Hazard and Climate Resilience Institute at Boise State University. You know, one way that you've explained the work of increasing resiliency, as we've been talking about within a community, is to really address the basic needs of a community. I mean, so we just mentioned, like, you know, the hardest hit are those who are working paycheck to paycheck. So what basic needs, A, do you think that we need to address here in Idaho? But also, what are we doing well? When we're talking about resiliency, let's also talk about what we're doing right.
Absolutely. So I think, especially with what's going on right now, it really highlights how effective our coordination is across, especially Ada and Canyon counties is where I'm seeing it because this is where I live. So I think what's happening right now with that's going really well is this effective coordination and working together, making sure that we're providing the most up-to-date information through the state, through the counties. And that's one way that we're trying to help out as an institute is creating an interactive map that we're going to coordinate on and make sure that it has all of the relevant information. In terms of our weaknesses, I think that this crisis will certainly help us identify those. And one thing that the Institute would like to do in the slightly longer term is to facilitate a resilience strategy for our region. And that's really a chance for us to map out what our vulnerabilities are, what our populations at risk are, and look at what are we currently doing to address those resilience needs. And then by mapping out our current actions to our needs, we can see where we're not meeting the needs. And through that resilience strategy process, which we would facilitate as a third party, but would really rely on our community leaders to work with us to identify those needs and those actions, the outcome would be a strategy where we say, okay, here's our goals for the next 10 years. Here are a series of projects. And these can range from anything from health and well-being to economy and society, infrastructure and the environment. It could be really broad, addressing aspects of poverty or access to affordable housing and healthcare, and really coming together as a community to develop something like that is where we'll actually be able to assess our strengths, what makes us resilient, and our weaknesses, the things that we could do to become more resilient in the future.
Before I let you go, last question. Are you hoping that this new institute will work with government agencies to be able to put that kind of plan in place and to see, you know, how we can address those basic needs for our community?
Yes, absolutely. The idea is that we want to offer resources to our community networks that they might not otherwise have access to, like computational capabilities or the ability to address data gaps and research needs of a community with a multidisciplinary approach. The interactive map that we're creating is an example. Another example is we're working with the Boise Fire Department and FireWise to create wildfire module, wildfire education that we can test within our community. And so it's really just, if there are needs within our city governments, our counties, that our Boise State faculty, staff, and students can address, then reach out to us. I mean, that's really critical to our institute as well. It's not just connecting us within Boise State, it's connecting us with our community partners so that we can develop stronger collaborations across the region and help out where we can.
I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Brittany. We've been talking with Brittany Brand, the director of the Boise State Hazard and Climate Resilience Institute. Appreciate your time today.
Great. Yeah, thank you so much.
Up next, Boise Mayor Lauren McClain on how the city is addressing COVID-19 and what else has been going on since she's taken office in January. This is Idaho Matters.